Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to my friend Dave Ackerley, evening news anchor at WLNS-TV6. Good evening, Dave. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. I'm just fine and very, very happy to be with you again.
Well, I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you about a two-part special you have airing this evening at 6 and 11 o'clock. I was lucky enough to talk with one of the gentlemen that you discussed when they were in town not too long ago, authors of a book called The Kennedy Detail. Why don't you give us some details on the special airing this evening?
Well, basically, it centers around an event that's pushing now 50 years in our rearview mirror, and yet for so many people and historians, and I think for the country, it's a defining moment. As I set it up for my grandparents' generation, Cheryl, the defining moment was December 7th, 1941. For my children and for a lot of us, for post-boomers, it was 9/11. But for another era, it was November 22nd of 1963. And that is the morning and early afternoon time frame when President Kennedy went to Dallas, Fort Worth, and was assassinated by, according to the Warren Commission, Lee Harvey Oswald, and thereby hangs a tale. There are so many conspiracy theories, and one of the theories, actually a number of them, centered around the Secret Service agents. And at that time, there were approximately, it's amazing, there were about 250 Secret Service agents at that time total. Now there's over 3,500, but many of them, of course, passed on. It's been 47-plus years. And we did happen to catch up, as you did as well, with two of these agents very recently, within the past month, as they came to Mid-Michigan, guest of the Roberts family, Doug Roberts, former Michigan State Treasurer, over at MSU. And they spoke there, they had a book signing, and they discussed very candidly what happened in their eyes, from their perspective, that day in Dallas. And I'm talking about former Special Agents Clint Hill, who was riding on the follow-up car, the left front running board, and also Jerry Blaine, who co-authored that book, and he was on the advance team who was setting up for the president's late afternoon arrival in Austin, Texas. And, of course, as we all know, that's an arrival that John Kennedy didn't make.
Well, and when you talk about Clint Hill, just for perspective for people, everyone who's ever seen the Zapruder film will know he's the gentleman who climbed on the back of the car to help as soon as the shots were fired. I mean, that's the recognizable character.
Well, it is indeed. The Zapruder film, of course, is the most famous. But what's amazing is we dug up and uncovered and are using tonight a lot of other footage of Clint Hill on that day, from the tarmac at Love Field to driving down Mockingbird to Main Street. And you know what really surprised me about this was all the footage I've seen of the assassination. So much of it is the Zapruder film. There were not that many people in Daley Plaza. That was the end, really, of the motorcade. It's almost like when you get to the last 100 yards of a parade, things kind of peter out a little bit. Well, it wasn't that way in downtown Dallas, and Clint Hill was going back and forth, and we have it in footage, Cheryl, from his follow-up car to the back of the president's car, trying to keep people from reaching into the car, which is what they were doing, to shake hands and get a touch of First Lady Jackie Kennedy. His first job that day was to protect the First Lady. And unfortunately, to this day, he believes that he didn't do an adequate job of reacting quick enough to protect the president. And it's hard to understand that from a standpoint of a person who wasn't there. But those are the demons he's fought for 47 years, and we get into that in part two tonight. Part one really sets it up from their eyes, their standpoint, and really Clint Hill. Part two tonight deals on the burden of guilt that they admit and of failure. They're the only presidential detail to lose a president in 109 years. It was theirs, that shift in Dallas, and they still feel a huge burden over that to this day.
Well, and when I spoke with Jerry Blaine, he talked about that, and you and I had a few minutes this afternoon to talk. It took a huge toll on these people.
It did, and no more so than Clint Hill. You also see a little bit of he's done very few to almost no interviews over the last 40 years. He did do one very famously in 1975 with Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes. You'll see a piece of that today, an extremely tormented man at that time. And you'll see, as we dissolve to the present, that he's come to grips with it more, but not altogether, not altogether. And that's part of the story and what's going on here is how time has healed some of the wounds, but not entirely.
And why now? Why did they pick now to tell this tale, to write the book? As you and I spoke a couple of minutes earlier this afternoon, as I mentioned, you could fill entire libraries with books on the subject of the Kennedy assassination. These gentlemen have never spoken before publicly at length. Why now?
I think, you know, sometimes we talked about with the assassination earlier, I said, sometimes the simple answer is the right answer. It may not be the one that sells the most books, but I think the simple answer is, Cheryl, they're getting on there in years. There aren't that many agents left. They realize that if they're finally going to tell their tale and maybe lift a little of the burden, not so much for losing the president, they can't do anything about that, but to say, this is what we had to work with that day. Could someone else have done better? Maybe, maybe not. If they don't tell it now, it's probably not going to get told at all. Things were very matter-of-fact for the Warren Report. The agents who were there all did, within 24 hours, write-ups. I've read them. But there are other things that kind of fill in the gaps, and I think that's what they tried to do with this book. I mean, when you're at their age right now, I think they feel like, if not now, when?
And they've had to sit back over all of these nearly 50 years and listen to all the theories out there. And it sounds like they just wanted it on the record, what they saw, what they witnessed, what they lived that day.
Well, I know that it's very important to both of these agents, former agents, that they get something across to a younger generation. They feel like people in our age group have made up their mind one way or the other. If you think it's all about conspiracy, you're probably not going to change your mind. If you think that Oswald acted alone, you've seen shows, you've read books, you probably aren't going to change your mind. But they feel very strongly that 80% of young people who are age 19 to 29 have either gotten all they know about this incident, this dramatic incident in our history, from the movie JFK or from conspiracy websites. And they feel like that needs to be, at least while they can, corrected. And then they say, let people decide for themselves. But they really want to get their message out to younger people.
Well, I am so looking forward to seeing this evening. I've got it TiVo'd at home for 6 because I'll be here. but obviously, steering this ship. We do love it. That's how I get through the days. And then I'll be watching it at 11 o'clock. So both 6 and 11 tonight, a two-part series. Dave, I can't thank you enough. Fascinating subject. Thanks for bringing this to us.
Cheryl, thanks for having me on. We hope people watch tonight, and I hope that, again, if it doesn't help people, we're not dealing too much with the conspiracy, but again, you get a chance to hear it from eyewitnesses to history, and nobody was closer to it than certainly Clint Hill, who's living right now, and I think that's a value, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I love having the information, and can't wait to watch it. Thanks for bringing it to us. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Dave Ackerley, evening news anchor at WLNS-TV6, two-part series on the Kennedy assassination at 6 and 11 o'clock this evening on TV6. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.